Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Tom, what do you think of my intro then?
I did a bit of a
TV announcer welcome
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded like a game show. It was amazing.
I got the stomach involved in that one.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Pitch Please.
Welcome back.
Our contestants today, all the way from Bristol, it's James.
Hello. Ooh, that's number wang.
James, what do you do for a living?
I make games, I guess. And I made Drink More Glurp. Boo, 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 boo.
Oh, wow. You sound like a real fucking nerd. Our next contestant it's Chris, all the way from Bristol.
Hi, my orange juice tastes like grass. That's all I have to say. It's horrible. I only made it like 10 minutes ago. Oh, it's disgusting.
Why do we have this contestant?
Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've got my cup of tea. I'm good to go. I'm raring to hear some fresh ideas.
Oh, Tom, well, fresh ideas.
Doing.
Fresh ideas. I do deliver today because today...
Really?
You know, I watched a documentary the other day and I am officially woke.
Oh, God.
My eyes are open.
Okay. Wow, okay.
My eyes are open. I watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix, which is all about social networking and social platforms and how they've taken over the world. Have you watched it?
Oh, I watched that. Yeah.
That's opened your eyes.
It's on the list.
It's basically about how Facebook, Twitter, and all of these things like TikTok are taking over the world and they're swaying public opinion and how one person in Cambodia has a different search result if they search for climate change than some dude in England or whatever. And it's really interesting. And so my eyes are open.
Okay.
Delete Facebook, lawyer up, divorce your
I've done
wife.
It. I'm doing it.
Go live in the wilds of Alaska. That's basically what
Wait,
the document-
are you pitching Dude Sim?
No. So my idea is it's on the back of how woke and how alert I am to the injustices of the world. I plan to create, or I plan
I
to pitch
rallied.
At least, you're creating, I'm pitching today, a 4X game where you are a app developer
Ooh.
Trying to create a new social platform like Facebook, like Twitter, like TikTok, all these different ones. I can't think of any others all of a sudden. Reddit, there's another one.
All the big ones, you know.
Google Plus, was that what it was called?
That's
that
not
died?
Even worth mentioning.
Facebook's.
No, you're right.
Nintendo.
MySpace. Nintendo. Nintendo.
Face Party.
Oh, yeah, there's a Nintendo Me book thing. What was it called?
Do you remember, was it the Pico Chat? Do you remember Pico Chat?
Pico Chat, that was another one. That was a
you
big
should
one.
Do that on school trip buses. Everyone would just draw knobs.
No, Bebo was my school one. When I was at school, it was all Bebo and MySpace. Do you remember Bebo?
MySpace.
Live
I thought
journal?
Bebo was for 12-year-old girls, or maybe I...
Why do you think Tom was there? He was also 12 at the time. That would specify.
very, very quick correction.
Yeah, very that's quick. What I said.
I remember my profile picture on Bebo was... I used to make in Flash. I used to do a load of like designing stuff in Flash, and I made a Powerpuff Girls version of myself, and that was a... my profile picture on Bebo, and I used
that
to ask
hot.
Other people if they wanted them as well. So me and my immediate group of friends had Powerpuff Girl
wow.
versions of themselves, except I was a rowdy
Amazing.
Rough boy, obviously. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you still have it? I must see this.
I don't know.
That's gonna be that could be the thumbnail for this episode, right?
Sure. Anyway,
so you're making MySpace, Vampire Freaks, Face
oh,
Party.
Vampire Freaks, Face Party. Holy
that
shit.
One?
So it's a 4X game, and if you don't know what 4X is, it's Civ, you know, Crusader Kings is a 4X game. It stands for explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate. So I'll go through how those four stages work in this version of a 4X game, right? So exploring, I think, starts straight away. Let's say you choose, I'm going to start in America, right? Oh, Chris, you've already got a problem.
Chris immediately has a point.
In my head, this is Plague Inc.
Kind of.
This sounds like an add-on.
In terms of,
I don't get it.
In terms of, so obviously, you want to go in a bit more in depth, but I'm saying in terms of spread and, you know, coverage. In this, it'd be install base. It's very much like Plague Inc. Instead of evolution, you're doing features, right?
It's not far off. However, I think where...
Should we go through the four X's?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I interrupted we'll you just to ruin four. Your day there. Yeah. Sorry.
So, no, I appreciate the addition, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So to separate this from, say, Plague Inc., where Plague Inc. is different to, say, Civ, is that you have your starting area, and you kind of have to deal with the starting scenario that you're in. Because like Civ, you start with surrounded by cows and horses and all these different things. And in the early game, it does kind of adjust how you progress in the beginning of the game. And then later on, you expand outwards enough that it doesn't really matter too much. So say you start in America, and there's a load of different factors that can change America versus, say, China, right? Where China has a lot of, you know, online restrictions and you can't have this app installed or whatever else. Whereas America is a lot more open, a lot more free with what apps people install or what legalities there are. I guess now they're banning TikTok, sure, but that's a problem that can come up later on in your game, right? So I don't know, maybe this area is ripe with impressionable teenagers and you're like, great, perfect.
Instead of a herd of cows, it's just a group of people flossing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the exploration phase, and you're seeing where you can market your app, where you can like get at your app onto phones in the world?
Yeah, I think either the game starts where you can pick where you begin, kind of like Crusader Kings, where you can just play as anyone in any area, and there's different factors that change your gameplay, or maybe you're just starting in a random place. If it's a multiplayer game, maybe you can set it as like a random start, and you're like, "Ah, shit, I got China. Fuck, I've got a load of problems I have to deal with." or great, I'm in America, but there's a load of different things that you need to deal with. So I think different areas have different things that you have to overcome, or different things that you can exploit, right?
Okay.
I mean, there is an exploit thing in the 4X, but then expanding is when you start to actually create your social platform. So this is a world that doesn't have Facebook, that doesn't have Twitter. You are basically creating your world if your app existed, right? If you're in an area that has a restricted internet or maybe no, you know, outwards, like Korea, right, where they just can't connect to fucking stuff outside of Korea, then hard
North
game.
Korea, they've just got that big block there. What's it called?
They have their own intranet. I don't know.
There's a word for it. It's not the Great Firewall. That's the China one. There's something else. But yeah. Like it's a big old wall.
Yeah. So there's certain things that you can spec into, kind of like the research tree that allows you to exploit that particular feature of where you're starting. But the idea of the game is that, yeah, there are other social platforms in there. In the early game, you're just trying to take over your current territory. And that's how it works, is the expansion is taking over territory and becoming the dominant social media platform in this area. And then you're like, oh, cool, we can do some marketing or whatever to expand into a different continent or a different area or whatever. And the more people that get involved, the more, I guess, resources it gathers for you. And I suppose in a base form, you could say it's money. So you can spend money to develop new things. Chris?
So I was going to say, regarding money, I think the way how it should start is, you pick your area and you have a budget at the start, and every time you spec into a new thing, it costs money. But then you could also say, I want to say, if you started, and I'm going to throw an arbitrary number out here just so it gives me an example. Say if you start with $50,000 or currency, and you're like, okay, if I want to add personalized ads that cost $5, I want to add a instant messaging chat system that costs $20, and then I'm going to spend $10 on marketing in this country or this region, and then you can see, okay, that's going to build up this like users. But then you could also be like, oh, I've started putting too many ads in, so my satisfaction rating has gone down, but my money is going up. So I think there should be multiple things we have to balance, and we'll have to figure out those stats along the way. But I think that would be a nice way of, and it would show some good graphs.
So based on what Chris is saying, the app isn't, not everybody will always have the same app. You get to design the app or the features that go into it.
I think there's different, there are different social media platforms in the world. And you're kind of developing yours at the same level as other people.
So you're competing against
them,
right?
Right, that's the thing. Yes. If you're competing against something, I feel like what's quite a good analogy for real life is that all the apps end up copying each other anyway. So maybe you have to spend research points to go and, reverse engineer someone else's app, or you have to put up with people stealing your features.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and copying you.
It does that in, I mean, obviously Civ is not a social media building game. However, in Civ, you can get spies, you can put in the rival civilizations, and if they're ahead of you in tech, they steal tech, and you're like, great, I just got a free research because this dude's already got it. And that levels the playing field. So maybe, some other thing has developed this perfect feature that you can't get, or for whatever reason, and you're like, I'll just steal that.
In terms of like espionage, that could be just like poaching people from rival companies, perhaps, that have information that can take that from you. Or like perhaps you could be keeping an eye on certain people, tracking. You know, like the idea of, have you seen... what's it called? Silicon Valley, TV show, where they create almost accidentally create that like world changing platform, but the guy does it while he's working at another company, and that becomes like this big crux of the show. But like being able to perhaps like poach people like that, like geniuses from other companies.
I mean, that's great people, just like in Civ again.
Like great people. Yeah, but then also having that way of like trying to convince them to come over and work for you.
Yeah.
James.
Do we see a scenario where we've got a bit of a theme hospital type like head office, and you've got all of your devs on all the desks, and you've got to manage your teams or
like Game Dev Tycoon.
Maybe like the research tree, or because with Civ again, I'm going to keep referencing this, but with Civ, the city view does particular buildings and does particular research. Maybe you don't have a city view, you just have a headquarters view, and you're like, what's the research team doing? And you just tell them to do something.
Right,
And as you get later in the game, the building gets bigger or whatever.
Go on, Tom.
Oh, I think in the late game, I think this is where it changes. This is where it kind of becomes more like this documentary that I watched, where your social platform has so much sway and so much dominance over this area of the world that it then starts to influence. You've then got ways to influence greater changes in the world, like maybe cultural changes. I mean, the documentary talks about political changes. I won't really get into that, how it's swaying
voting.
Tom,
that sounds very unrealistic, and that would never happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
It would never happen. It's not true. No. But maybe you can use particular sway campaigns or like smear campaigns or whatever to drastically change how things are going in the world. I mean, that does introduce a massive level of sub global politics that's going on in the world that you are then influencing in some ways to change how your app is doing. But I mean, possibly.
But I feel like that's kind of where Crusader Kings comes in a little bit, right? Like the idea of swaying people, like that's a mechanic, and you can like choose to sway certain people who will then like potentially like, and then during like, or you can like use your spy to I don't know what they just spy on people, right, and uncover certain hooks that you can use to blackmail people.
Maybe it could be in the very basest form. Maybe there's, if you just put it down to world leaders, right, and you're like, oh, this dude is going to become president of this place. Do we have enough sway to be able to change the voter opinion in this part of the world to make sure that this dude, it literally shows up on the screen as one. Person A versus person B. Person A, his plans, this is how it will affect you. +40 growth, -40 money, or whatever. And you're like trying to weigh up which one do I have the, basically as a company, who do I back? And then your user base starts, oh weird, I'm seeing a load of ads for this person, and this guy is saying like, oh, I don't want you to vote. Oh weird, all of a sudden my platform isn't telling me to vote, that's odd.
But that to me feels like potentially very late game stuff where after you've expanded enough, like say like going back to towards more of the beginning of the game when you're just fledgling, like a fledgling company or a fledgling app starting out, is the idea to focus on one app, or are you basically a company and you can acquire multiple apps in the long run? Or is it, Chris, you got an idea?
I was just gonna say before Tom says anything about that, from what I have thought so far and what's been said, in my head, it's a single app, and you again, I'm going to use Play. You're using Civ, I'm using Plague Inc. Because with Plague Inc., you're a single, you know, virus or whatever you want, but you, instead of evolving these mutations, like, oh, within this, it can be airborne, it can be, you know, transferred via food. This is, okay, add this feature. People like this, but it also means that their privacy rating has gone down. And I think you have to juggle these stats, and everything has a positive, everything has a negative. So you're like, okay, we're going to allow instant messaging. But it's like, okay, well, now those messages need to have, you know, certain encryptions on them. But it costs more to have end-to-end encryption, like kind of WhatsApp style, but you don't have the funding for that. So for right now, it's unencrypted, and also that means that you could have a random event that responds to that. So I think events that respond to this could be good, where it's like
anonymous.
China has offered to buy a big share, like big stake in your company. You get millions of dollars. There's this, and then, you know, a few turns or however you want to do it later is that the US has banned, like, it's not like that's out of the question. It's literally happening. Like, the US has put these sanctions on this, and therefore you now need to have a solution for that. It's kind of like how in Plague Inc., it's just like the World Health Organization has come up with a trialing a vaccine. It's like, okay, so I have 10 turns to, you know, either come up with a mutation that helps me get around this, or basically spread enough where they can't vaccinate enough and get ahead of it. And I think that kind of it happens in Crusader Kings, right, where people can, you know, die, get murdered, you can get murdered at any point, you don't realize. And I think you want to have that reactionary thing, but also you realize that you have time to react, so you're it's not random and you're like, oh well, that was that. It's random, and then, but also caused by you. If that makes sense.
I think you've hit a really good point. The idea of there has to be, or there probably should be, like a lot of the core gameplay should be these quite large events that you don't necessarily have control over them happening, but then you have to respond to them. How you respond to them, you have control.
Yeah, I feel like the game has its own pool of basic events that just happen regardless of what you have, that it's just because you have a app, right? But if you spec into the instant messaging, then other certain events will happen. Encryption is failing, or someone's hacked into all of them, or whatever. Maybe you invent the like button, and you're like, and then something happens with this. A load of people. There's a poll for people to add a dislike button. What the fuck? Do you do it? Do you
James
not do
got
it?
A button idea.
Almost. I like the prospect that we could push it further than what current tech has as well. So as time progresses, we could introduce more like AR features, or you know, people have the Google Glasses kind of thing, and then the privacy side of that comes into effect, and the whole people start dissolving their bones because they're sat in their chair too long or something like that.
Oh Jesus, that took a turn.
What happened to Google Glasses?
I think it was a privacy issue. People were worried about just
that could be a thing. Like if you release technology that potentially, you know, could be a cool thing, but you have like a public opinion.
I was gonna say, recently at Facebook Connect, they announced they're starting to do AR glass testing within the in only in company. So
AR glass is like that's Google Glass, but that kind of thing, right?
In a way, Google Glass was a bit different in terms of how it handled things. It had a little
prism that it shot light into when these would try and display on actual glass, because they're working with Ray-Ban. So I mean, I'm fine. I've basically got them without the kit in at the moment, so that's fine.
Great.
So they're doing an internal test where they literally, it's not anything AR. It's purely sensors. So it's just cameras, microphones, battery, and gyros and all this, and they're figuring out the ethics. Facebook, of all people, are trying to figure out the ethics of AR. So they're trying to figure out how to, you know, when to record, what to record. They'll try and blur people's faces. But I'm sitting there like, if you were at work in Facebook and you're trying to have a private conversation, you can't have a private conversation.
No.
Is there a thing that we could tap that has a private conversation? If I'm having a glorious poo, I don't know. Like, Mark Zuckerberg now knows about
live
it.
Live stream.
And anyway, he can know about it if he wants. But I don't want someone like a hacker to be able to go, oh, I'm going to hack in Chris Shaw's glasses. And he just sit there and I'm just like wiping my ass. And I look at it and it's just blood red. Oh, and he's like, this guy's got a problem. Like, oh, God.
Well, it's like that Black Mirror episode, isn't it? Where they could rewind and watch back their memories and what they'd seen that
day. But that's what that's for, because everything's being recorded.
And kind of what this game is kind of, it's a big Black Mirror episode of what would happen if a social media app, which... Again, it's true. It's happening in the world right now. Exactly. What if it had way too much influence and sway over public opinion?
I mean, I don't want to spoil any of the documentary, but it basically ends with them saying, this is a war that needs to be fought, or it will potentially be the end of civilization.
Oh, they say that about everything, Tom.
There's another Netflix documentary called The Great Hack, which I think is much along the same
vein as
this one. And that was all about Cambridge Analytica and how they really were influencing, you know, elections.
Right,
and there was the country, the African country, whose name I forget, but they literally did like an A-B kind of test and... got someone elected by running a fake campaign and just got everybody to be like, power to this person and down with the other country. And it was completely
Chris,
fabricated.
What do you think of all this, Chrissy?
Oh, hello. What?
Chrissy. That's my little jovial, my affable name for you.
Lovely. Yeah, come Let's on, Chrissy. Not do that again. Okay. So I was thinking in terms of that, like, so... with the whole Cambridge Analytica thing, that could literally be a scenario that happens if you go into, like, you get a message through on the little thing. It's like, do you want to sell your user data to this company? They promise not to use it for this. And you're like, yes. Oh, that's billions of dollars. Great. That's fine. And then, you know, 20 in-game turns later, this event comes up and then you're being fined, you're being like... And I think...
Oh, yeah. If there's an inquest, that's like
a
huge
deposition.
You're never going to be shut down because you're making too much money. So all you're going to do is have some really small fine put against you, but it's still an annoyance because I think that maybe the goal is much like... I think Plague Inc. has this, where you literally have a leaderboard system and you have a score, but I think the score should be how much revenue you earn because people love to compete with each other.
I mean,
I feel like that's literally a metric that everyone understands. It's not an arbitrary score. It's, money.
I think like the privacy side of things is the kind of thing, like the moral ambiguity of certain things that you research, right? Like, you could have, to go back to the instant messaging thing, you could say, oh, yeah, we could encrypt it for everyone but us. And you're like,
the FBI wants access to the messages. Do you give it to them or not?
Yeah, or maybe there's some, you know, smart home device that has a cute female name that is listening to everything you say, and maybe you can strike a deal with that company and be like, if they say things in the house, will you send us that information and we can use that to promote advertisements on our thing? Which sounds insane, like that something like that could happen.
I must say, just from a purely visual standpoint, I'm getting, I like the theme hospital vibe. Maybe you start off, you're one guy in a garage, one person in a garage, whatever. And then at the end, you're like
a Bond villain
in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, yeah. In this underground.
In a mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, you start as some guy with his two friends in a university, like a flat.
An incubator.
And then by the end, you are a robot lizard man sat in front of a courtroom, unblinking and unable to drink a glass of water.
You're just a brain in
Tom
a jar.
Zuckerberg.
Tom, your tinfoil hat slipped slightly there. Sorry.
There's no way he's human. Come on.
Okay, look, so I think we've talked about a lot of the things that can be thrown in the way and give you reason to change things up and figure out like how to play the game. But like what are the ways that you can actually fail? Like how can you just lose?
So I think what I'm imagining from the very beginning of the game is So a lot of this influence does come from Crusader Kings, because I think I never played Crusader Kings 2, but prior to Crusader Kings 3, I had no idea a game with this much politics and this much intrigue and this much individual things happening at any one time could exist. Like Civ is very formulaic. It's, you know, I'm going to build this thing. Oh, the other person, he built it first. And that's basically all that happens. Whereas with Crusader Kings, you've got this lord is planning this plot to do this thing in this area, and he's also planning to murder you, so you should do this thing. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's incredible how they've
managed it.
It's an RPG more than it is a 4X game, because I think it's just about the story that you tell with this gameplay style, and if you die, so what? It's fun. And I think starting, you can choose where you start. In the same way in Crusader Kings, you can either start as the King of France, or you can start as a vassal in the middle of fucking nowhere and just try and work your way up in like the Maldives.
Remember, Tom, little baby Kevin, the leader of Finland when we played.
Little baby Kevin, the 2-year-old
who you murdered.
I murdered, and the description on that was gruesome. Filth.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So I think
a bit graphic.
It's either we build it as a 4X game like Civ, or we build it like a Crusader Kings game, where it's like if you build it and you fail, or another rival company buys you out and then just takes you over, like WhatsApp to Facebook or Instagram to Facebook or something else to Facebook, then you know that's an end to the game, right? Or maybe you become in Crusader Kings, maybe you become like a vassal to Facebook. I don't know.
That'd be a shareholder.
Chris, what?
Oh yeah,
you've got to realize how these things.
Yeah, just rename it.
Regarding that, I was thinking, in my head, it's not like Civ. It's more Crusader Kings cross with Plague Inc. Because instead of infections, it's install base. Instead of mutations, it's features. Instead of vassals and employees and shareholders.
And shareholders,
it's a combination of those two things. And I think that if you choose where you start. So say you start in, America. Okay, so it gives you a larger audience at the install base at the start, or access to. Where if you go to China, it's like restricted for certain features. You have to run certain, censorship things. But like there should be a positive and negative for every start point.
Yeah, I think
and
everything
maybe
has
certain features come, because I feel like that would be very interesting, because no two runs would be the same, especially if you want to go down the I'm going to stay the all above board route, or I'm going to go down the I don't give a shit about privacy, I'm going to just try and make as much money as possible route. Which I suppose you could still make. You still could come top of the leaderboard with the moral high ground route, but it might take you longer because, you're not selling people's data, so you're not making money and you have to run on ads.
You do profit versus net gross, I guess.
Well, I feel like in terms of like morals, that could literally be displayed by or affected by public opinion, right? I mean, you can have bad morals and hide your public, and alter public opinion of you, but there's a good chance, or the better chance, that you'll become found out by doing something nefarious, which will drop public opinion, which will lower install base.
Well, I think public opinion should be directly contested against your global power, right? Like if early on the public opinion is minus 30 for you, and you've got the install base of like, I don't know, half of London, then you lose. Like, everyone is just like, oh, fuck it, uninstall it then. Who cares? But if you have half the world and the public opinion is minus 2,000, like, there's nothing they can do. You've basically controlled half the world. Like, that's when it becomes a monopoly, and it snowballs hard into there's nothing we can do. We can't uninstall it, because what else are we going to install? Fucking shitbook over in China? No.
Your space.
Vampire Freaks. Yeah. Everyone just moves over to Vampire Freaks. Chris, what are you thinking about
mine,
this?
Mine is, regarding what Tom just saying, but also on top of that a little bit, is that I don't think after a certain point there is a fail state, because at certain points you're already installed in too many devices and making too much money. People's opinion, as you can see in real life, doesn't really matter. They still make money. If you're big and you become like bankrupt, you get bailed out anyway. You're too big to fail after certain mm-hmm. points. I don't know. I mean, we can try and think of one, but I honestly don't know the fail state. I don't know if there's a win state either.
I think
Plague Inc., it's killing everyone. There's a fail state in Plague Inc. if you get vaccinated against. In this, have that.
Is that where it becomes closer to Crusader Kings again, where you're not, like, you have a lineage, so perhaps you're playing as an individual, like, who is the founder of the company or something, and then, like we do see in real life, when things happen, like, people step down from companies or they get fired or whatever, but then someone will replace them, and the company continues on, right? And so, would that be a way of, so you're working for you are the company essentially, but you're playing through this one person, like in Crusader Kings, where you have a king who gets deposed or gets murdered or whatever, and his son takes over. Perhaps, James.
Just thinking, another fail state would just be war. Would be the end of the world.
that's more of an everyone fail state. That's I don't know.
Aliens.
Yeah.
No, aliens. They detect that there's so many installs of this app that they're like, we want a piece of that action. Yeah. We need some data.
The Reapers from Mass Effect. They come to cleanse the cycle.
I mean, I'm just thinking, if we're going to have political sway, that you might end up making a decision that doesn't go your way, and then you just basically start war between two countries.
James, I don't think, even looking at real life, that no one gives a shit. Like, literally, things have started in the world based on information being spread by other things.
I'm thinking
people just don't care.
But I'm thinking about we're looking ahead to the future. So I think this game should, if we're going to have magic features of the future where you can beam stuff into your eyeballs, why not just... I don't know, have a vision of what this could actually do to us.
Maybe, why not?
What's the message? What's the message of the game?
So well, I feel like the message of this game is the perfect comparison with Plague Inc. That social media is like a disease. You know?
It's a plague.
Yeah, right. It's its own plague. Regarding that, I was thinking that maybe
Plague Book
at the start, instead of like having just go, oh, you need to make a social media app, you get a choice of what app kind of thing you want to make. Like, you could start as a dating, that could be the foundation, right?
Nice.
Because
that
has different requirements for, you know, than a social media app would, because that's, you know, more about sharing pictures. This is more about trying to find someone. But then you could go down the, what's that one where you can like cheat on your spouse? There's like a weird one. It's just like all end-to-end encryption.
Don't pretend like you don't know.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm cheating on my right hand.
With your left.
With my left. They don't know about it. They don't talk anymore. Not since they caught me.
I think that's an interesting point though, isn't it? What's the app that you start with, and what does it end up being?
I mean,
or vice versa.
There should be like almost like this glass ceiling, right? Where once you cross that, once you break through that, then you're unstoppable. And that just becomes the game where you just enjoy your empire and take over the rest of the world, right? But I think
like Crusader Kings.
Yeah, exactly. I think in the very early game, it's a very, very, very difficult early game where you start, like, say Facebook when it first began was what? At best a forum? Like, you just post your, how are you feeling? And then other people posted how they were feeling.
Stanford University students, wasn't it?
Yeah. But so it was purely very rudimentary.
And it was, if I remember correctly from the Social Network, it was because he wanted to, they added in the relationship status thing so people could find out if the girl they fancied who was on Facebook was single, or it's classic, hey, I'm a horny teenager. Yeah,
but like, but that, I think the start of the game is that, where you've got very, very little. It's like Twitter, but you can you're only using like 20 characters and there's nothing else. You can't post pictures, you can't, you know, like people's tweets, you can't retweet, yeah. you can't do anything.
Yeah, and those are just things you can research into and but they cost
to specialize, like, in your app.
Exactly, like the global development of the like button is like this revolutionary mm-hmm. thing. Like everything installs it, but can you get it first? Can you, it's like World Wonders and Civ, like can you get it first in your app? And when you do, people then start copying you, and if people start copying you, you've got the cultural influence and you've got the cultural sway over everything else. And that's when you're trying to get ahead of everyone else and be the biggest and be the most influential and I guess the most technologically advanced of all of them. Chris,
yeah,
so I was wondering so I have certain things in mind, but what stats do you guys have in mind for it? Because at the moment I've got like revenue, like overall opinion, maybe share price. And because when you started mentioning the like button, and obviously I think they actually mentioned it in that Social Dilemma one, is that the fact that a like button and, you know, hearts and stuff like this is very much how people view themselves right now, so that they find value in it. And when their picture that they put up doesn't perform well, it genuinely makes people feel, you know, bad, and it makes people some people get really depressed about it. Like, is that a value where it's like world depression?
Yeah.
So what are the stats that you guys think should be in? So yeah, mine again are revenue,
so
public opinion, and share price.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily imagining a OpenTTD style graph all over the place. I mean, I think it could do in some form, but I think if you compress it down, well, not even compressing it down, it's literally what it is, like seeing your value going up and opinion going down in graphs. I think you can view it in that way, but I think if you were to simplify it a lot more, where you say like, right, there's this global research going on right now, the like button, for example. If you get there first, then it gives you 40,000 a turn or something like that eventually dwindles down. I think
what's that?
Money, right? Where
money, okay.
Where and the way you can visualize
that
should
affect lots of things, though, right? Like money, that would affect install base.
Your install base would go up. So that's another thing that I completely forgot about.
But what I mean is, like, if it, instead of saying your stock price has gone up by this amount and you're watching your fucking graph go up and then slowly dwindle back down because you haven't got any new invention, then back up again.
That's a good driving factor because you want to see that graph go up again. So like
I know, but I think
that feeds into the fact that when you post something, you want to see people like it, and if you get more likes than the last one, you're like, okay, I'm doing it. But with the graph, it's like that's a nice, you know, increase. Oh, it's
dropped. I'm thinking of the way that Civ does it, where it very, very, very much simplifies it down into, instead of stock price goes up for 3 years, it's literally get 40 extra gold a turn for 30 years or whatever, you know, something like
James,
that.
James, how would you deal with this?
The thing about the like button is that's about the user, whereas we're this corporation and we don't care about the user. We just care about monthly active users. That would be one of your biggest stats, is just what feature can I put in to keep that person on the app for as long as possible? So if it's like I've added pictures, now that they've got more to scroll through, that then increases my stock price because people are on the app longer. There's more
increases
retention.
Increases use time, increases like ad revenue, like increases likelihood of people buying ads on your platform.
So,
right?
So the like button would still be, you know, okay, we research into the like button and it gets us more monthly active users because of it.
Yeah, I think it does do other things as well. I was just trying to figure out the correct way to present how this is done. It's either in
that really jumped up on me.
That's an odd sneeze.
So it's either in hyper realistic graphs or compressing it down to like tokens, where it's like public opinion is a smiley face and now it's a sad face, or you know, monthly users is just like a little person icon, and you've got 200 people every month.
We have been talking about Crusader Kings a lot, and I feel like that does it quite well, and it does feel like there are a lot of stats going on, but you never feel overwhelmed by it too much, because you can just focus on a couple of green numbers and be like, this is going well for me at the moment.
Yeah.
Chris, how would you solve this?
I would prefer to have more stats personally. But I think that's coming from, and I think, I don't know if James agrees with me on this, that's coming
from, I'm very surprised for you to hear
that's coming from
you
having something on sale. Like, I want to know my daily active users, I want to know my concurrents, I want to know my retention rate, I want to know my install base, I want to know how long,
where are they installed, and
like
how many.
Unity, like analytics in games, they know how, like in AAA, they know how many people, how long people spend on the main menu, how many times they press go into the options before even playing a game. They need to know all this, because
you guys, though.
But that's what I'm saying. As a game, that's about,
I think,
taking over the world, you need to know these things.
I think as a 4X, though, I think every four. I'm saying Civ a lot. Civ has like a happiness meter, right? Or Civ 6, it has happiness compressed down into amenities, which is stuff that you can build in every single individual city.
It's smiley faces.
But amenities directly affects some sub stat that can be adjusted by other things. So I think every 4X game has, on the face level, when you're looking at it on just, you've just launched the game, you've got all these global stats, or I say global stats, but these much more wider reaching stats, like money. Money changes how the stock prices is done. That can be influenced by that, but it also influences your research rate. It also influences your growth rate. Like, there's loads of little sub stats under these umbrella terms. So at the top of the screen, you can see four more broadly defined things: public opinion, happiness, FBI chasing after you to try and take you down, and I don't know, suppression or something like that. And they all affect different things. It can be as complicated as that. It could be compressed down.
I think a lot of this, I think you would have those stats, but I think a lot of the game is going to be tracking that information over time. So you will need some sort of master graph area to see basic, because that's your progression through the game. That's how good am I doing? Mm. Graph is going up. I'm playing well. Money's going down, but that's okay because I spent some money on research, and you can see the progress bar of your research for the like button along this time. And you go, okay, we expect it to go up, but now it's going back down again. So how do I, you know, you're going to be making your decisions based on plotting that information, right?
Yeah, but I think in terms of the events, you also, maybe even with every research, right? Like, again, going back to the like button, maybe when you get this first, then maybe there's a load of sub options that you can choose where you're like, okay, I've got the like button. Do I want it to do this, 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 and this? Or do I want it to do these things as well? Maybe when you like, it has a snazzy little animation. And this means if you hover over that little option, then it has this effect. It means you've got more people using that feature more. Or maybe with the instant messaging, you can pick encrypted, and that means that it's got higher public opinion, but it means you've got less control over the app itself, or less sway in these areas. Maybe you can make it, you know, open,
and then it becomes self-aware and takes over the world.
And then it takes over the world.
What do you think is the most satisfying like button on social media to press?
I only really use Twitter.
I have a Facebook account for VR development.
I feel like that Instagram is pretty similar.
And seeing which one of my school friends I went to is now a horrible racist.
Twitter's done a good job with animated like buttons recently. Based on the hashtag, and those are quite fun.
Imager does a good job. Imager, that's pretty good. But what was it called?
Research that deep. Sorry, tell me.
The Social Dilemma, there's one bit they spoke about where I was like, oh, fuck, I do actually do that, where they talk about when you get to the top of the page and you know it's the top of the feed, and then you scroll down, it refreshes, and then it comes back up again, and then it shows you a completely different list of things. That is like a very heavily designed thing that you see the little thing spinning, it pops, and then you see brand new information, and apparently that feeds into your brain somehow to say like, oh, wow, new information, I'm going to keep doing that. And I know I do that all the time.
Isn't that doom scrolling?
Sometimes I do it like three times in a row and get no new results.
I think that's what it's called. It's called doom scrolling.
Do you do that thing where you close, you're like, be on Reddit and be like, what am I doing? I need to focus on something else. You close the window, close the Internet Explorer, close the browser, whatever, and then just look at nothing for half a second, and then immediately open it back up again.
Amount of times
I did that on my phone yesterday with Twitter.
I have Twitter and Reddit open pretty much all the time, and then I'll go through Twitter, close it, go through Reddit for a little bit, close that, and then open Twitter. and then close that and then open Reddit. It's
yeah, and the word, like, you're conscious of doing it as well. Like it's like you're catching yourself out. Like, oh fuck, what have I just done? I just closed it. I'm a fucking idiot.
I think that would be a really interesting part of the app design as well, is the algorithm itself. Is like, how do you tweak how that behaves? I mean, give it 2 or 3 years ago, it used to just be about scrolling, constant scrolling, and there was a really interesting stat where people on average would scroll through 700 feet worth of content. So if you took the screen, measured it, and then it would be 700 feet of scrolling. And then they've changed that now because people want to just refresh, and you're doing the same amount but just in shorter chunks.
Yeah,
and they're also serving up the same content again, but you go, oh, I've not seen this, but people are scrolling so fast now that they need to be able to serve it back to you multiple times.
On top of that, with the way that this has got a bit off the game, but I feel like it's a different way of looking at things, because you could of the things you can spec into is you pay extra for targeted ads, whether you're buying data off like Google AdSense, which is not something you would own. That's if you were Facebook in this instance, you've got your own ad algorithm, but Google have their own ad algorithm, and maybe that serves your purpose better, so you can, rather than develop your own and cost you loads of money, buy into theirs. Because the way they do ads is like they serve you ads based on if you look at a picture of something on Instagram for a certain amount of seconds, they're like, okay, they're interested in that rather than just scrolling past all the other pictures. So if you look at your explore bit, it eventually fills up with, weirdly, mine is just a lot of dogs. Which says, my Instagram explore, if I press the search button on there, it just comes up with mostly Samoyeds and like corgis, and because I stop to look at cute videos of dogs on Instagram every now and again.
Right, yeah. Okay.
In between, nice. You know, the thoughts that I follow, Tom, and of course you.
Of course,
I do include you in the thought section.
Oh, interesting that I don't have an Instagram account. But
no, I follow the fan account that I made for you.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Faisal. But, like, regarding that, is that I think. What was the point I was making? I had a genuine point.
It's gone senile.
AdSense.
I fucking forgot.
All right. Well, look, while you think of that, before we kind of do a quick overview of where we are, are we still decided on like the idea that there is no real way to lose, that there's like the initial, it's very difficult to get to the global domination point, but then once you're there, it's Crusader Kings.
In the early
game,
there's ways you can be bought out, or there's ways that the app just fizzles out. People stop installing it, people stop using it. I think there's a couple of ways, but ultimately it's Crusader Kings style. You get to a point where you just win, essentially, and you carry on.
What are you thinking, James? like the increase of Amish? Or the amount of people that ignore technology completely, and you have this weird faction of humans that break off, and
the woke people.
Oh, just like religion. It's this weird religion. That's it. I think the woke people.
You could break off from technology. Creating really mad scenarios that, well, would be horrible to think about happening, but that's the point of the game, isn't it? Where you're imagining how bad social media could be taken, and you create a bunch of...
I think
of,
it's also... It's also integrating tons of features that are so morally negative that they wouldn't exist in the real world. They will eventually, of course, but the Black Mirror thing where everyone has a rating, and the five star people are the best people in the world. The low star people, maybe if you influence that creation into your app, it has some effect. I don't know.
Would you ever be able to win the game by being morally correct?
I don't think you should. Would that be possible?
That's a spiffing Brit video, right? Where he makes a
ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to learn how to beat this social game with just using morality.
Plague book.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's a perfectly
social
balanced
game. There's
game.
Not a name for it yet, Chris.
I'm trying to think of it. I was also trying to think of what I would call my Tom Hazel Thought fan account, but
he's been sidetracked.
Please leave those suggestions in the comments.
This point, like, Tom, can you give us a rundown of this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 4X game in its almost purest form, not quite Civ, not quite Crusader Kings, not quite Plague Inc., but a kind of mix of all of them, where you begin the game by trying to find an area where you start, which all have different factors. China is completely different to America, which is completely different to Russia, to Africa. Like, all these different places have different factors. Where you begin to create your app, and it's very rudimentary, very basic social media platform that has very, very basic features. And as you grow and expand your influence, beginning in a university dorm, spreading out to the county, spreading out to the country, spreading out to the rest of the world, you are building these features to try and become the most dominant social media platform in these domains. And eventually you get so powerful that you have sway over cultural changes, political changes, to expand your influence across the world even further, potentially getting into future stuff that we don't currently have, or even alternate stuff that we don't have, where you go to Mars. No, where you create, you know, Google Glass. You test out new features, yeah, like different smart home applications, or
telepathy,
or something else.
What?
And the game
that's totally going to be a thing eventually.
Yeah.
Well, they've already been testing stuff. And I remember watching a documentary like years ago, this was with like, there was this technology they developed for, sorry, this is a bit of a tangent, but this technology they developed for, they called it like subvocal communication or something. And it was the idea of like, it was between, it was developed as military technology that they could use to communicate, for soldiers to communicate in situations where they couldn't otherwise communicate. And basically what they needed to do was, If you make the sounds but without make if you just make the sounds with your mouth, without actually making a noise, it can read it and then communicate it to someone else. Yeah.
So this is going to sound. This is going further into my tinfoil hat thing. But Elon Musk, right? Okay. You recently had this chip.
You're talking about Neuralink.
Neuralink, right? I don't really know the purpose of Neuralink, except to have a chip in your brain that can.
So. There are several applications for it. A lot of it is health benefits. So certain disorders and things can be alleviated with it, because all they are signals from the brain that are being interrupted, confused, you know, just not sent properly. So you can fix certain motor disorders with that. Just by sending these signals and correctly, because all it is basically electricity at its base form being sent to the right places, and all you got to do is just zap that little bit, and like, I'm going to send the correct signals. I've really boiled that down to like the dumbest way I can possibly do it.
So I mean, wrong. What I'm getting to is our boy Elon. He created a chip in your brain. Was there a social media focus when he created this thing where you can get, listen to Spotify just in your brain, or like Musk space, or maybe like what I was getting at
Musk book.
Was how close are we to actual telepathy in a technological sense of having Neuralink communicate with Neuralink?
I mean, probably
it can't
not
be
that
far. Surely, like it. It can't be that far off.
We have similar technologies that, like, you can obviously, when people in like with disabilities can communicate just by either thinking about what they want to think about, and it translates. Because if you're thinking of the letter A, it's always going to be the same bit of the brain flaring up and firing off those signals. So I think we know. Again, this is probably all fucking wrong.
We know
enough that we can translate these things into. It takes a while to like formulate a sentence, but I mean, all you got to do then is send that signal. Yeah, I mean, let's not. I'm not going to start speculating. I know surgery. I mean, it's not easy.
If anyone's actually interested in this, there's a really interesting interview. Surprisingly, with Gabe Newell, when they went to it was part of like the media for Half-Life Alyx, and I think it was the guys from IGN or somewhere they went and had a chat with Gabe Newell, and they got onto this topic or something similarly related about some of the research and stuff that they've been doing at Valve, and Gabe Newell just kind of said in an offhand way, if you're really interested about it, like the idea of, for example, reading and writing to someone's memory is a much more tractable problem than for example, making someone feel hot or cold. So the idea that you can actually read and write to someone's memory seems to be something they are actively attempting to research and feel like it's solvable.
Format.
You know, in the near future.
Format brain.
To format someone's memory.
Oh my God.
Has this just turned into some sort of weird technology conspiracy podcast?
It's getting nuts now. So we probably have to like bring it back and feel and find out how you guys think about
it. To Conspiracy Please. Your number one conspiracy game podcast.
This was very tinfoil hat in a way. However, I do want to stress, delete Facebook. Delete your fucking Facebook.
No, don't delete Facebook if you're a VR developer. No, trust me, you need it.
Getting onto Oculus.
Oh yeah,
please.
If you're trying to play your games on Oculus, don't delete Facebook. If you're using it to communicate with your family and friends to find out who's still alive and who's dead, it's not worth it. Just not worth it.
It's like Schrodinger's cat. Unless you know they're both dead and alive, then
exactly.
You
know,
only use perfect. Facebook if you're rich enough to own a VR headset.
Yeah,
Alex.
Otherwise,
I mean, I don't mean to be spout Facebook's praises here, but the new Oculus Quest 2 is $299. That's pretty cheap for entry level VR headset.
See the influence. See what it does.
I've just been transferred by M. Zuckerberg.
Just saw the ghost of Zuckerberg behind you.
My money.
Oh God!
Thank you, Mark.
He's got dead eyes.
Would you make and/or play Plague Book? Is the current working title?
I enjoy Plague Inc. As a casual game. I don't know if I see it as being more than something like Plague Inc. And I think the simplicity of Plague Inc. is what would help this game out, because the comparisons are very much there. Like, you can just swap the words out, and you've basically got the same principle. I'm not saying that's it's basically Plague Inc. It does have other merits, and it has a lot of other things that it could do, and you could go down the Crusader Kings route. But I feel like I don't know if this is ironic that the game based on making an app should be an app, and then like you're trying to get as many people to install it as possible to then make something that many people as possible should install. It's like a weird spiral of install users. But I also, I'm very horny for graphs, and I feel like there should be more graphs. I love a graph. You see an upward trend, it makes me upward trend, Alex. Like, I need graphs in my life, and I feel like they're a good way of encouraging people to try and perform. Like, you want to reach that peak again. So you're like, how did I do it last time? What did I have to do?
Yeah.
And it does encourage remembering how you played previous runs. Or I just love graphs, Alex.
Okay. So Chris would play it because of the graphs. James,
no, if it had more graphs.
Okay, if it had more graphs. James, are you anti-graph?
I don't have a different take. I too am one for graphs, and would play the game based on all the graphs. I'm a little bit gun shy about being too close to the social media thing, because prior to doing game dev, I was working with a startup on a new social media platform. So I'm
oh my God, I didn't realize we had a lizard person in the chat with us.
I'll just let that one sit there for a while. And
oh my God, you're the enemy.
but
oh my God, he's disconnected.
I think I've not played Civ. Shocker. Crusader Kings.
It is on the list.
Okay. You told me about it a couple of weeks ago, and it's on the list.
You get the basic structure of it though, right?
But I like the idea that again, it's got social commentary, which I think is quite fun, and the prospect of going into the future and like going really batshit with it and going, look, you've caused a global catastrophe because of your silly app that you made in your garage like several turns ago. I think that's quite fun.
You say batshit. I feel like that's just becoming the norm. That's not really a far-fetched thing you're saying.
The new normal. It's the crazy times that we live in.
Maybe it needs to start in the future. Maybe we need to start at Neuralink and then see where it goes from there.
I think I'm all for Musk space. Let's go.
Musk base, yeah.
Musk base. All right. Well, maybe that's the name. And Tom, I know it's your game,
Playbook,
but are you as excited about it?
I think I'm not against graphs. I want to point out, I'm not against graphs. I love a good graph. I think the beauty of Civ and Civ 6 is the way that it compresses broad terms into simple icons. It's just so easy to understand. Like there's, you know, science, it's a flask. You know what you're doing with that. You know what's influencing the flask. You know what's decreasing the flask. You know what's increasing the happiness meter. You know what's decreasing it. It's compressed down into very simplistic terms that works very well. Yeah, go ahead, have some graphs. I'm not against that. I just don't think it needs... I don't think there's one place where you can look at your NASDAQ ratings and like your stock prices and all these different things.
Ooh, Tom, Chris gets sweating.
Getting hot in here.
You know,
what's your FTSE 500 today?
That stuff is all under the NASDAQ hood, right? It's just a matter of exposing it to people who want to see it. There could just be a more info button or graphs
absolutely.
Button. A button that just says graphs and you can click on it.
But I do think that would be part of the gameplay, though. You would need to be able to track it. So it's not just a visual thing. I think it is key to the way that this game would play.
But I think what's cool about it is, if you go into a potential future where you're developing new tech that doesn't exist now, but also developing alternate versions of current tech, right? Like where you're able to say, well, what if this feature in this social platform did do this instead? Like what effect would that potentially have on the platform or on the world as a whole? Chris, I feel like you've just come up with a name.
I didn't come up with a name. It was just that we were talking about NASDAQ and I was going to say, you could say I have a FTSE fetish, but then...
Amazing. I'm sure that's the first time someone has made that joke. So, thank you.
Whoa.
What's going on?
What is there more info? What do you
Tom,
think?
You can't.
I mean,
beat what Tom, I just said. You just end.
I love your idea. I always love your ideas. I'm always 100% behind you.
I needed to hear that. Thank you.
Look, but the idea of
like
secret,
a like.
You like it?
Bam. I'm the bit in Death Stranding where Nicholas Winding Refn puts his thumb up and the little like comes up.
Oh, fuck.
That's me. And please, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a like. It makes you feel warm inside.
It really helps.
And if you saw also like that.
Like the tweet. Retweet it, because, oh my God, I need a boner for that shit.
Wow. Where can they go to give you an erection, Tom?
At Pitch Plus Pod. Pitch Please without the vowels, Pod with the vowel. Send us some ideas. If you like the idea, like the thing. If you want to tell your friends, retweet it. Oh, God, do
yes,
that, please.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for everyone who's been sending them so far. We haven't been ignoring them. We're just not going to do one every week because sometimes it's nice to have a look in Tom's hole.
You don't
right?
want my pitch hole to get too dry.
Exactly. Yeah.
It needs regular maintenance and visitation.
If you have any more thoughts on Plague Book Musk Space or whatever you would call it, or if you can think of a way you might improve it and make it better, because I'm sure you could talk about this for like the rest of the day, to be honest, because it would be so complex.
There's a lot.
But please let us know.
A lot to sift through.
And next week, who fucking knows? We might have a guest on. We might actually have a guest on, actually. I guess you'll find out. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The last couple of episodes have been very, like, horny teenager, haven't they?